Welcome to the podcast for the First United Methodist Church, located in Round Rock, Texas. This week, Pastor Brad Britton brings us part two of the Sermon of Joseph. Pastor Brad shows us that Joseph chose grace and kindness towards his brothers, even though he was a man of power and still had much hurt and despair. Joseph still chose to love first. We never know who needs grace in our lives, and that one simple act can help change the hearts of those around us.
Do you ever look back over your life and think of the people that God puts in your life at different times for different reasons? And it's really remarkable when you do that. You just never know the impact that you and I can have on others and vice versa. You never, ever know the impact of being a person of grace and kindness, what that will do for someone. Now, if Joseph can forgive his brothers who left him for dead, there might be some hope for you and me to forgive other people in our lives too. And he said, even though you intended what you did to me to harm me, God used it for good. Thank you again for all the volunteers for VBS. It was wonderful. We survived, right? That was the first goal, outside of the mission of the church, but that you got to do that first, which we did, and so that was wonderful. Today, we have what's called Next Steps after the 11 o'clock service, just after 12 o'clock. We have lunch that we'll serve, so if you're new here and looking to get connected, we invite you to that lunch, and so look forward to that. Let's pray. God, thank you for the gift of today, for the opportunity to hear a word of hope and grace and love. May it make a difference in how we treat others. And today, as we give thanks for those that you've put in our lives over the years to make us who we are today, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Anybody like to watch series on Netflix and those streaming where you can just, once you get into one, it's like bam, bam, bam. And then that's the discussion is, are you ready to go to bed? No, one more. And then the next morning you wake up, why did we watch that last episode? I'm exhausted. Well, you finish a season and then they have to take time to create the next season and there's a gap between. So when they start the new season, they do a recap of the previous season, which I never pay attention to. So we start the first episode and all throughout this episode, I look to Alicia and say, now who was that again? What's that? What? Well, today is the second part of the Joseph sermon that we started last week. So the first part here is the recap, okay, of how we got to here. And then we'll take Joseph from the prison out of the prison. So if you remember, Joseph was the favorite son of his father, Jacob, got preferential treatment. His brothers couldn't stand him, as you can imagine. He said, I had a dream, and in my dream, we were out binding sheaves, and my sheaves stood up straight, and yours bowed down before mine. You know, who would like that? And then the next dream, I dreamed the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to worship me, and in effect, he was saying, Mom and Dad and brothers. Well, long story short, he ends up getting thrown into a pit, a cistern, to be left for dead by his brothers. And then they decide, well, let's at least make some money off of him. Let's sell him into slavery. So this group called the Ishmaelites are traveling in that region and they're coming up to the pit and they sell him for 20 pieces of silver, which was the going rate for male slaves at that time. And that's the last they see of their brother. His backside is he is going off with the Ishmaelites to who knows where. He ends up in Egypt, of all places, and he is serving in Potiphar's house. Now, Potiphar was a captain of the guard for Pharaoh, and Joseph's job was to work in his house. Well, one day, Potiphar's wife tried to get Joseph to sleep with her. He didn't do it, and then she said that he tried to force her, which was not true, and next thing you know, he ends up in prison. So he's in prison, and you remember the story of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker? The cupbearer's job for Pharaoh was to make sure that the wine was suitable and also not poison. Same thing with the chief baker. They each had dreams, and Joseph interpreted their dreams. And in his interpretation of the cupbearer, he said, "You'll be restored to your position as the cupbearer." And remember the chief baker? His dream didn't go too well. You remember that one? It's like, "Hey, you're dead. You're dead. You're gone." And that's what happened. So 2 years later, 2 years after this, Joseph is still in prison. And every day he has to be thinking, you know, I asked the cupbearer to put in a good word with Pharaoh for me. So one day, I got to be getting out of here. I mean, he said he would put in a good word. I mean, I interpreted his dream. 2 years later, Pharaoh has a dream. And in this dream, he dreamed there were seven cows. Sleek, fat, just healthy cows. And then seven thin, ugly cows. And the ugly cows ate the fat cows. That was the dream. You'd think it'd be the other way around, but the ugly cows, the thin ones, ate the healthy ones. Then the second part of the dream was ears of grain, the healthy ears of grain, and then the thin, parched ones. And the thin, parched ones ate the healthy ones. And so he's troubled by this. And so the cupbearer remembers Joseph at that point. Now, if Joseph knew this, he'd lose his mind. He's like, "Now you remember? 2 years? You make me sit here for 2 years, and now you tell Pharaoh that I can do this?" And so they call the Joseph up to interpret the dreams for Pharaoh, and so he does. He said the interpretation is this: the seven healthy cows represent 7 years of abundance with our crops. The seven unhealthy cows represent 7 years of famine. So for 7 years, you better store up all the grain you can, because after that, it's 7 years of drought. Pharaoh was so impressed that he elevated Joseph to second in command. So isn't that amazing? He goes from the pit, left for dead, sold into slavery, winds up in prison, and now he's second behind Pharaoh. Absolutely incredible that he ended up in this position. Well, several years passed, and we're now into the famine, the drought. Well, guess what? What do you think people in the surrounding regions are doing? They're going to Egypt to get food. So guess who shows up? His brothers. Now, wouldn't you like to be a fly on the wall? Here they come. Joseph is there. Joseph is in charge of all this and the distribution of the food. And the brothers arrive, and sure enough, they don't recognize him. Remember, it's been a long time. But he recognized them, and he had a little fun with them. He accused them of being spies, had them thrown into prison briefly. But he noticed Benjamin wasn't there. Benjamin was his brother. That was his only brother by the same mom, Rachel. And he loved Benjamin, and he wanted Benjamin to be back. So he said, "Why don't you go back and get your younger brother, and then you can get some food. But I need one of you to stay behind here in prison." So he had Simeon stay behind in prison, sent the rest back to Jacob to bring back Benjamin. They still don't know this is Joseph, by the way. They arrive back with Benjamin, and Joseph just can't contain himself at this point. He just can't do it any longer. So he says to all the others in the room to leave, and leaving him only with his brothers. And that's when he wept so loudly that everyone could hear in the surrounding area. And he revealed himself to his brothers. You ever watch The Undercover Boss? Remember that show? Is that still on, by the way, or is it? It's where a CEO would join the workforce and get to know the employees, but they didn't know that that was the CEO. And so, you know, if you did this years ago, it'd be like, "Hey, at the end, I'm Bill Gates." You know, well, that's what happened, this reveal. So what do you think the brother's reaction would have been? Oh, wonderful, it's Joseph, you made it, right? No. How about, uh-oh, this is not good. Not good. And then Joseph said, come closer to me. And he didn't say that so they could hear him. They could hear him just fine. He said, come close to me. It was his way of saying, come here. And he said, even though you intended what you did to me to harm me, God used it for good, to save lives. And I imagine they were stunned. Expecting the worst, they got the best. It was Joseph's way of saying, I didn't really appreciate getting thrown into a pit, sold into slavery. I wouldn't have designed that path on my own, but look, we're all good now. It's all good. You can imagine. You know, I think you look back at the end of Joseph's life, he lived to be 110, and you got to think, as he finished out his life, he had to look back in the past and think of this crazy path and trajectory and all the things that happened. And at the time, he didn't understand why it happened in that way at that time and that place and in those people. And then you connect the dots of where God has worked in his life. You ever do that? You ever look back over your life and think of the people that God puts in your life at different times for different reasons? And it's really remarkable when you do that. You just never know the impact that you and I can have on others and vice versa. A few months ago, I was finishing up a Bible study. It was a Thursday morning. We were studying the book of Acts, and I was walking out of the hallway coming back to my office, and David met me in the hallway, and he had an individual with him who was had just come into the office and just very troubled and needing help. This young man was probably, I don't know, late 20s, 30-ish maybe. David had a meeting to get to, so he introduced this gentleman to me, and we went into David's office and sat down, and I met with him and tried to visit. And he wasn't real clear on what was going on, but it wasn't good. He just needed a safe place temporarily just to be. And that happened to be David's office. And it was wonderful because David has these protein bars in his that I go and raid repeatedly. I owe you a lot of money. Those aren't cheap. Well, this guy had not eaten all day or the day before. And so I went and grabbed a couple of protein bars and I slid one across the table to him and I opened mine and we just sat there and had a protein bar. And at that point in the conversation, we didn't say a word. We just sat there. And there was this sense of a holy moment that they kind of sneak up on you. We just sat there and ate. And finally, I broke the silence. I said, how did you end up here? I mean, of all the places to go, why in the world would you walk up to a United Methodist Church in this situation? And then he said, when I was a kid, my grandma brought me to VBS here. I was driving to church this morning, and I was thinking to myself, there's a good chance there's somebody here today that might have taught crafts that week. There's a good chance that there's someone here today that worked at VBS that he obviously was influenced by, that was working snacks and was cutting the oranges. And by Thursday was thinking, dear God, when is Friday going to get here? I'm exhausted. Is this making any difference at all in anybody's life? Been there, yeah? And so he came here because he said, this is a safe place because my grandma brought me to VBS. Now, do you think the people leading VBS 20 plus years ago were thinking to themselves, you know, this week's going to have such an impact that one of these kids is going to be in so much trouble in his life that he's going to just come back here because of this week? No way. You never, ever know the impact of being a person of grace and kindness, what that will do for someone. Bob Goff is an author and speaker and tells a wonderful story about a time when he was a kid and they lived in a small town and he went to the corner store, general store. Anybody ever grow up in one of those towns that had the store? And you know, when you go in, you walk up the steps, it's the old wood, it creaks, and you open the screen door and the bell. Anybody remember those? The bell rings as the door is open and closing. And he loved to go there and buy candy. Just loved it. And each day he would check his dad's pockets after he got home from work and get the loose change out, and he'd run down to the corner store. He'd go inside and he would carefully look over the candy aisle like he's shopping for something major, like, you know, a house or a car. And what do I get? Do I get the gum today? Do I get this? And he said he loved going to the corner store because the storekeeper was this kind old man that just loved people. And he would go up to the counter, he'd put all his change on the counter, and the storekeeper would count out the coins and then give him back his change. He didn't know what cost what, he just put it on the counter. And he would take his candy, and he wouldn't just leave, he would stick around the corner store and eat his candy because he liked just hanging around listening to people talk, and especially the gossip in the small towns. And he thought it was so fun how the storekeeper heard each person as they came in share the gossip and act like he was hearing it for the first time each time. Well, one day he went into the store and brought his change and put it up on the counter. And the storekeeper kind of had a quizzical look on his face and he knew that there was something wrong. He said, we're one penny short. And Goff said, it actually made me feel good how he said, we're one penny short, as if we're in this together. And he pulled out some vinegar, a little salt, and a rag, and he took one of the pennies and he began to wash it and clean it. And by the time he got done cleaning it, it was this shiny penny. And he looked at the kid and he said, it's all good because shiny pennies are worth two in my store. Goff said that was 40 years ago, and every time he sees a penny, he thinks of that storekeeper. When he didn't have enough, the storekeeper said, it's okay, I got it. You know, I think of our lives, there are sometimes we're on the side of the counter with the kid, aren't we? Life circumstances has brought us to a place and we just put all that we have on the counter and just pray it's enough. And then the storekeeper, what's the storekeeper going to do? Well, as Christians, we kind of believe the storekeeper is Jesus, and he believes that shiny pennies are worth two as well. And so here's Joseph. He's the storekeeper. His brothers are across the counter. Dear God, what's he going to do now? Jacob has just died, their dad, no one to protect them. And Joseph had all the power in the world. He could have done anything to his brothers, but you know what he did? He took a penny, shined it up, and said, shiny pennies are worth two. Now, if Joseph can forgive his brothers who left him for dead, there might be some hope for you and me to forgive other people in our lives too. Because one day, and maybe it's today, you're going to be the storekeeper. And you get to decide, and I get to decide, if shiny pennies are worth two. Let's pray. God, so often we come to your counter and we don't have enough. We know we don't have enough. But we are so often surprised by your grace, your forgiveness. And as we connect the dots of our lives, we give you thanks for the people that you put in our lives at just the right time, with just the right word, just the right amount of grace. And we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ and the hope we have in him. It's his name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's sermon series podcast from First United Methodist Church of Round Rock, Texas. For more information, you can find us online at fumc-rr.org or find us on social media at fumcrr.